Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Well, how many can you receive some things today?
Yes.
Well, you're not going to get them from me. We have a massive opportunity here. Greg just came back from India, and I just told him, hey, take whatever time you want. He's got some things he wants to share with you about what God's doing in India. And it was a pretty amazing thing last night. We had an opportunity to sit in on Dan Taylor. How many know Dan Taylor from Five Rivers Ministry? He headed up the trip to India. And he actually called up one of his good friends over there in India while we were in the room. And we had an opportunity to, it was just before his Sunday service. So we had an opportunity to talk to him and find out what the needs were in his area. And boy, technology just makes it so much easier to connect to people across the world now. It's no longer just, it's just our city. It is our city. It's our city, our nation. But it's also, because of technology, we have the ability to find out what the needs of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world is real time. And so I just want to, Greg, could you come on up and I would ask you to open your heart towards, I'm not saying it's not already, but open your heart towards what God's doing over there. And have it be in your thought processes, maybe I might want to go in September. Maybe I might want to go over there again in September. So just be chewing on that, praying about that. And I'll just give it to Greg. And Greg, feel free to do what you like.
Thank you. I want to tell you, Best Life Church, thank you for a couple different things. I hadn't had a chance to tell you. Thank you for supporting me and Connie with Judy as she was, what she was going through and everything. Over those past 6 months, thank you for the way that you've opened up your hearts to us and just received us with your love, and you prayed for us and you encouraged us. Thank you for that. And I just, Mom is in such a good place. Mom is where we all will be one day. And before all this happened, I had plans to go to India, but I had an opportunity to visit with Mom before I left, and I said, Mom, I told her, Mom, I won't go if you don't want me to, because I wanted to go, but I didn't want to go. I didn't want to leave Mom. She said, Greg, you go. That's where your heart's at, and she blessed me, and it was just like, thank you, Mom. She released me, but I had that opportunity to chat with her before I left, and then when I got there, Connie called me and told me that, she had passed away. But it was like, thank you, Father. Thank you for what an influence Judy has been in my life for the past 30 years. We have fellowshiped together. We have got to see God just move and touch people's lives. The stories that she's had, I know that you guys have heard a lot of them. But I want to tell you one quick one before I get into the display up here. She had the opportunity to raise somebody from the dead. She raised her husband from the dead. He died. There was a weekend that they came over just before my son's wedding. Zachary was going to get married. They came over. And Friday night, they weren't in the house, I think, more than an hour. And Dad, heart stopped. I mean, he was in our bed when we were getting him settled in the bedroom. And Connie was there, I was there, Isaac was there, I think my son Benjamin and Judy was there, and he was sitting on our couch in the bedroom. And all of a sudden, Dad said something to Mom, something like, you know, Judy, can you get me something to drink? I'm not feeling too good. And all of a sudden, his eyes just rolled back into his head. His head went like that. His tongue came out, and his color turned pale white with just in seconds. And oh my gosh, you should have heard the rattling going on in that bedroom that moment. We all started screaming and freaking out, but we got to Dad as quickly, and we started praying and laying hands on him. He was out for several minutes, I think 5-7 minutes, when the paramedics got there finally. But we were praying for him, and Isaac's praying for him. You know? It was just something, and all of a sudden, he took a breath, and he came back. And he didn't know what happened. When we finally got to the hospital, though, they said, they told Mom he was dead. He says, I don't know what you did, but whatever you did, you saved his life. So it was amazing to see someone raised from the dead. But Mom has stories like that, you know, and me and Connie have had the opportunity for quite a few years to be around Mom and how she ministers to people. And you know what? That wasn't just for Mom. That's for you and for me. And we get to live that and walk in that and move in that and breathe that every single day. So thank you for being so supportive during this time. And thank you for the second thing is thank you for supporting me in going to India, making it possible. Thank you for your prayers of protection. Thank you for all the way that you have given. So I just appreciate you. Thank you so much. I have about 90 pictures here, but I'm not going to go through them all. I had to scale it down in order to, but I think you'll enjoy the pictures here. I want to introduce you to my friend on the picture. His name is Bablu. Bablu it means bear. Now, for some of you that were at Dan's meeting last night, it might be a repeat, but he didn't know I was talking about this, so that's why he talked about it last night. But on our trip to India this year, I went to Palampur, India, and then we went to Leh Ladakh. But for me, this trip was really different. The other trips I've been with Dan into India, there was a lot of revival meetings and praying for large groups of people and seeing a lot of demonic demons cast out and people being healed. Well, this trip for me was really different because it was very much laid back. In Palampur, we had an opportunity to visit and encourage three other pastors, two very young pastors, 27, 28, is one set, and the other one's maybe like 30, 31, and then the other one was 25 and 26, and they're all in different parts of the mountains up in Palampur. So we had a chance to come alongside them and just pray with them and encourage them. And what we did is they took us to different house meetings. So a lot of these pictures are at different home meetings where they actually do their ministering, because in India, they really don't try to have a big congregation or a big house because it just keeps it safer that way for everybody. So they gather in people's homes, and it's usually, you know, 10, 15, maybe could be 20, but it's usually like that. So a lot of the pictures that I'm going to talk about today, you will see them in different homes. Now, this gentleman, Bablu, I had no idea. I've never met him before in my life, but he is so full of life. He is just, he's a born-again believer, just very recently born again, so he's very much alive. And he loves to take selfies. The very first time when he came into the hotel to get us, you know, we get introduced to him, and he grabs you because he's a big guy, and he starts taking selfies of everybody, you know, and he's just a fun guy. Well, this guy is also what I find out later is that he's the coach of the cricket team there in Palampur. And it's called an academy, so they have kids that come through yearly, and he trains them. He's been doing that for maybe 15, 20 years, he said. But he's also some type of a government official, and I've never really figured that out all the time I was there. But he knows everybody. And as we go through these, through him, he takes us to all his friends that are not saved. And so, and I thought this all prearranged and pre-planned. Nope, it's not. It's at the, you know, today I'm going to take you over to this friend's house. And he takes us different places, and we go in and we start ministering. We talk a little bit. So he is just an amazing man that God is using for Palampur, for the kingdom to spread. So I'm going to share some of these stories with you as we go through it. The next one, Sarah. This is his wife Sonia, his daughter Miriam, and his son Sonny. They're I think in their early 20s. Okay. Now, I'm going to jump right in. We're crossing a road to go down to the first house where we're ministering at. Babu, or Bear, he arranged this first meeting for us at one of his brother's house. And so on this next one, go ahead, Sarah. This one, I'm just trying to give you a little bit of the area where they're at. So we're crossing the road. We're going here by the motorcycles. The next picture is going to show us just some more of the area where we're going down into. That's the house we're going into where we're going to be ministering at. That's where the church is going on at. So as we go down into the hills there, they're all gathered, and in India, everybody sits on the floor. I mean, they do have chairs, plastic chairs usually, but everybody pretty much sits on the floor everywhere, and they have those nice rugs down there and everything. But these are some of the people. These two young people right here on the side, his name is Hashish and his wife Kapana. They're two pastors that are called to Palampur, and they haven't quite got there yet. They're still transitioning to get there. And the other young gentleman behind him, I forget what his name is. He's a pastor in another city. He does outreach ministries with a lot of the drug rehab places. Just very godly men. And so the people in the background are just some of the family members, and there's a gentleman over here. His name is, we're going to hear a lot about him. His name is, it'll come to me. Go ahead, Sarah, the next one. So we get in his church, and Dan always makes it very easy for all of us, whoever goes on a trip. He always gives you an opportunity to share, to say what's on your heart, you know. So it's never him the center stage. It's always he because when we go, he's very in tune with the Holy Spirit. We're all just praying. And so he asks, you know, you have something to share, you know, or he'll, and you do. And so he gives you an opportunity to share with people. And it always seems to fit. It always seems so appropriate. So I was just had an opportunity to share there. And, go back to that just for a second. The young lady right here, her name is, Shema. She's our interpreter. So everywhere we go, she plays the guitar, and she's also the interpreter. And she, I mean, worship music, oh my goodness, for just having a guitar, the worship she does, it's just amazing. So, okay, next one, Sarah. This, I haven't remembered his name yet, so we'll come back to it. Go ahead. Just some pictures of the children. Dan praying for that gentleman. In fact, I know how I can... But so what we're going to find out is Sanjeev, that's what his name is. His name is Sanjeev. He was the first home that, this is Balboo's friend. Now Sanjeev is what they, what's that term that Dan used? He's part of the high caste. Brahmin. He's a part of a high caste Brahmin. So he's an upper class in the Brahmin, in the Hindu religion. And so as I'm learning about the Hindu religion and this, I mean, there's a lot of idol worship, and it's been around for centuries. And they're born into that. They're born into worshiping idols, and they know that if they don't do certain things, how the demons they affect their bodies. They make them sick. Their animals die. They're cursed if they don't do all these certain rituals. Well, I didn't know, but when we went to this man's house, when Babu took us to his house, he has his wife and his daughter is probably about 18 or 19. You know, we went there and we didn't know what we were there for. Babu's just arranging. He wants us to pray for everybody. So we go there and you know, we get in the house and we sit down and start to talk a little bit. And they bring out their tea and their cookies and stuff. And, you know, they're very hospitable, very open and very loving. So we go there. And so after a little bit of just chit-chatting and Shema interpreting for us, Dan is starting to ask, okay, we'd like to pray for you. Is there anything you'd like prayer for? And almost all the time, everybody says no, you know. But we don't stop. Okay, goodbye. I'm leaving, you know. No, I didn't come 13,000 miles to hear no. So we start inquiring. Well, tell me what you do for work. Or, well, I don't have any work. He says, you know, he's been out of work. Well, come to find out, he's been very depressed and on a lot of antidepressants lately. Hasn't worked for quite a while. Really, just struggling with life. Really, really down and depressed. And so, so Dan says, well, can we pray for you? You know, can we bless you? And he was kind enough to let us, you know. And so we prayed for him. It was. And I'll say it like this. It was really no big deal, but it is. I mean, we go to pray for people. It is a big deal, but it seems like, my gosh, I don't do anything. I just stand here and you show up. So that's what I mean. But it is. So we pray for them and we pray for his wife and his daughter and we get ready to leave. And so as we're going out the door to go to Babu's, or has somebody else for us to go to, he gets Babu's attention, says, hey, can I go with you? Now, this is a Brahmin priest. He doesn't know a Christian. He serves his God, I don't know how many years, you know, all his life. He's depressed. You know, there's all this stuff going on. And all of a sudden, we pray for him. And now he decides he wants to come with us. So we said, yeah, sure, come on. Because we went to this next place. Okay, Sarah. It's just another gentleman. There are a lot of different people that we pray for. Go ahead, Sarah. And this is food. This is the kind of food that we eat there. A lot of chicken, a lot of rice, a lot of dal. It's pretty much the same thing, but you fix it like a million different ways. You sit on the floor everywhere, they had some chairs in that room, but they really make a big feast for you. So anyway, so this is Babu's brother in the center, and I can't tell you what his name is, I forget. And that's another either friend in the background. So, and that's Sanjeev over here. So, and there's his cricket team. That's the team that he coaches. And Babu takes us everywhere in Palampur. Everywhere. Come with me. You're going to meet the cricket team, you know. He takes us down there, gets Dan involved, gets Sanjeev to take the pitcher because the white man's in town praying for people, you know. And he, it's so funny. I mean, Babu just wants you to meet everybody and pray for everybody. Okay, the next one. Go ahead, Sarah. And there's another one. Dan's practicing his swing and Babu's showing him how. There's another one. And he just loves these selfies. He just loves to take pictures. This is a food place that we went to every single night between 8 and 9:30 at night. We'd go there and this guy would cook the most fabulous fried chicken in the background. It was just so good. So we'd have a lot of chicken all the time. Now, before I get to this one, so we go to Bob. We're leaving Sanjeev's home with him to go to this couple's house that Babu has taken us to. So we get to this person's house, her husband and her wife, and we, Shema's in the background, and we have a little bit of a worship music. Once we introduce ourselves and we get to know them, we play just a couple songs, and we start asking the questions again. Is there anything that we can pray for you about? And try to just strike up a conversation with them. And at first, once there's you'll see the father and the daughter are here too. But once again, no, everybody's okay. Well, Dan says, well, he looks right at the mother and says, well, I think you got something going on with your neck, you know, and I'd like to pray for it if that's okay. And she just kind of really looks strange. She said, yeah, I've been dealing with a whole lot of back problems for quite some time, and I've been going to the chiropractor and the neck issues and everything. And so she opened right up, and she said, yeah, I'll let you pray for him. And so Dan's praying for her here. Let's go to the next one, Sarah. And all of a sudden, well, Dan gets done. He says, okay, check it. You know, see how it's going on. Because when we pray for him, we don't just pray for him and then walk away. We want to know that God is touching him, and we're not leaving until he does. Because he said we can, and that's what we could expect to see. So he's asking her a question, and here she gets really excited. And so I told Dan, I said, I'm going to be taking a lot of pictures, Dan, because I want to see these people's faces, and I want to see them excited when they get touched by God. Because the other times I was there in India, I didn't. This time, I'm just flipping pictures as fast as I can take them on my cell phone. And so anyway, so she gets all excited, and because God touched her. He said, pain's gone. You know, it's just like, and it's been this way for this lady for a long time. So it was a good capture right there. Okay, next one. And so the daughter wants to get prayed for. I don't think she really had anything particular, but hey, if mom feels that good, I want to, you know, I'm up next, you know, let's go for it. Okay, and so Jenny had a chance to pray for her, and then the dad too. Now this is, and once again, it's the young, while we're there, everywhere we go, we have the Sanjeev there and the two young pastors that are going to be coming to Palampur. So they're coming with us, and we're kind of working with them because they don't really do this kind of stuff there. It's odd that you would think, well, they're pastor, but they really don't go out and try to lay hands on people and pray for people. It's odd. You wonder, well, what do? Well, they share Christ as best they can. You know, they read the scriptures and stuff. So when they get with us and when they get with Dan, it's like they just see a whole new realm of the kingdom, you know, that they haven't been exposed to. And so it's really fun. So go to the next one. So now, once we get done with that group, then Bablu takes us somebody's house, you know. And so this picture shows we're walking down to a couple's house. This is an older couple, and it's just him and his wife that live in this little house. And Bablu didn't tell us anything about him other than when we finally get out of the car at the beginning of this trail, she's had a stroke and she's paralyzed on the right side. Oh, wonderful. Oh, thank you, Babu, for telling us that. I said, okay. So we start trekking down the trail. And it's just a quaint little house, very nice. It just finished raining, that's why it's all wet around there. Okay, go ahead, Sarah. There's the next one. And that's her husband there, and that's her. And I'm sorry, but I don't remember their name. So once again, they offer us tea and some cookies or something while we're there. And we chat, and Shema plays a couple songs, you know, and so we sing. And so we start asking him what's going on, you know. And Bablu kind of jumped in and says, well, she's had a stroke and she's paralyzed. We'd like you to pray for her. Okay, so we can do that, you know. We got a paralyzed prayer, you know. It's the name of Jesus, you know. He fixes it all. So anyway, As you can see, as she's standing there, you can see her right arm is just kind of dangling. And the arm and the leg, she really couldn't move it that well. And so we prayed for her, and Dan prays for her, and we're just believing. Go ahead, Sarah, the next one. And I tried, so Dan's asking her, now move it around. See if what you can do, if it's any better or any worse than last time. Okay, next one. And so she does, and she starts moving it around, and the husband's saying, starting to chat, and he's getting excited because, hey, she hasn't been able to do that before. Ever since she's had this stroke, she's not been able to do that. You know, and so they're starting to get a little excited. So he gets, I think, next one, he wants prayer now. And this is always the way it works. Someone gets touched by God, and everybody else wants it too. It's free game, you might say. It's just time for healing. So we pray for him. He gets really excited because God touched him. I don't remember what was going on with him, but he was very excited. Yeah, just the way God just touched his heart. You know, and now got to remember, we got the Brahmin with us who's never known Christ and just got touched by God earlier in the day, and now he's traveling with us. He's seen all this. He's listening to Shema, the interpretation, as we're talking to him about the gospel. You know, so we kind of gather people as we go along that just want to hang out. Okay, so the next one. And he's just excited. So, okay, so right here, so that kind of ended. So we went home. That was pretty much one day or a day and a half. I forget. It goes by so fast. So we get back to the hotel that night, and the next morning we get up, and Babu is there to pick us up in the car, and we're all getting ready, and Sanjeev is with him. And Dan's asking, what's going on? No, you know, Babu didn't tell us, you know, anything ahead of time or anything. He wants to come. Well, we're driving in the car, and Babu tells us, Sanjeev called Babu at 1 o'clock the night before. He says, can you take me over to where those Americans are at? I just got to be around him. You know, something like that, he tells him. He says, Babu said, no, I'm not to take you. You can wait for in the morning. You'll come with us, you know. Here's this guy, a Brahmin priest. Dan prayed for him a two-minute prayer. You know, God touches his heart. And so he starts coming with us everywhere. And throughout this whole presentation, you're going to see different pictures of him here and there. Because he starts coming alive, just like the song. He's coming alive. Dead bones are waking up, because that's what God does. It's just incredible how he... So this is a picture someplace we're off touring, and we stop by a stream, and now he's got me in doing the selfie thing. So Babu's got me. He's in the background over there. But I've been communicating with him on WhatsApp since I've been back, and he's just a precious brother. He just loves the Lord so much. Okay, go ahead. Now, we make our way up to this really high mountain. It's probably about, I think it's about 12, 13,000 feet up. And there's a temple up there. And there's a priestess who works in the temple area, making sure that no one tears it up. And when the people that do come there to worship, you know, that they ring the bell, they put their money in the pot, they take some of these little, I never knew what they are. It's like good luck charms or something. So there's a priestess that makes sure that everybody does what they're supposed to up there. So we're up there and we're just praying over the brothers. The two on the left I already introduced you to, that was Ashish and his wife Kabanah. But now you're going to see the other brother over here on the right. His name is Ashish. Their names are all a lot of similar. They're hard to... But Dan was telling us last night, this young man on the right, his dad was a pastor. And he had started a little church. It grew to about 100, he said, or 150, 200 lap. Yeah. At one time. And then the Hindu people were getting upset about that because it was intimidating to them for their church to be bigger. So they got the government to come in and disperse the father's church, and they beat some of the believers there, and they scattered them all over. And they tore down the building, and they actually gave that piece of land to the Hindus, and they built a little temple on the same land where the Christians were. So later on, this young man, his father passed away, and I'm not sure how or anything, but so he is now pastoring in his father's place, kind of in the same area, and he's only 31, and he just loves the Lord. But you know, when you listen to his testimony, he tells you about his father and what God has, how he has used him in the past, and that he's just, you know, that God's called him to take up that same mantle. So he's with us, and we're just encouraging him and praying over him. But just a precious young man in the Lord. Next slide, sir. This picture of us, you know us. Now this is one of the priests up there. She's a that's what the priestess look like and how they dress. Their eyes are always very, very dark. They've got that dark mascara. And a lot of times when you get close to the people that are very like this, when you get close to them, you can see their eyes. Even though they got black makeup on, their eyes are dark. There's no light. There's no light in there. It's just dark. You know, just because it's almost like no one's home. And they kind of just stare at you. I'm sure that they see the presence of God in us, but they don't know what to do. Next one. It's just up in the mountains. Okay, next one. Now this is our driver. His name is Devender. Devender, something like that. And he's Hindu. He doesn't understand much English, but he drives us. So for a week, this guy drives us several thousand miles. Now, there's five of us in the car, and we're not quiet. We got an interpreter there who's always interpreting, you know. And so we have a driver who's getting just lavished with the love of God, and he doesn't even know it. And there's several times that he's just kind of, when we've been out praying, he comes over and he joins us. He wants to be part of it. And he's asked Dan a couple times to pray for him, and he was just in tears because God was just touching him. So it won't be long before he knows the Lord either. It's just a nice man. Now, Babu takes us to another man's house. Now, this man, once we get there, find out he had a stroke too. He's paralyzed on the opposite side as the woman was. He's paralyzed on the left side. How? So Dan, we're all just laughing and thinking, okay, this weekend I guess is just all about paralyzed people, healing paralyzed people, you know, or something. But so they bring us into the home, we do a little worship, we do our, you know, our thing there, and we talk to them, get to know them, and When we asked him if he'd like to have prayer, sure did. He didn't say no. You know, he said, yeah, I want some prayer. Yeah. So his left side was bothering him. His hands, once again, his legs, he couldn't move from the stroke. When we first got there, he was already sitting in a chair. So I don't know how much movement he really had. But from what you'll see, he has a whole lot more after we left than what he did when we came. So Dan's asking him, okay, you start moving your body. You know, can you do something different that you didn't do? So here he's lifting up his leg, and our brother's over here, and Sanjeev is in the background with us as well. And so he's moving up his head, and then he does this full squat. Yeah, man, I can do that. He's starting to get excited, you know, that he's sensing, wow, God's doing something. Okay. So then, you know, so he starts clapping, and Dan, and a lot of times when they start thanking their God. So Dan will, you know, very gently just say, now this is the living God that touched you, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's touching your body right now. We give him honor and glory, he tells them. And so it just helps them to say, it wasn't your God. Your God put this on you. You know, so we redirect them very gently. So he's getting all excited there. Okay, next one. It was interesting here because I was sitting down in the background as Dan was praying for his wife. And he's there with his hands just trying. And I feel something different. And he's checking out. And I caught a picture of it just in time. So the next one. And you see him, he's checking it out more. It is just so cool to watch people, how when they get touched by God, you know, just, and they've never been touched by God. They've been touched by a false God. They've had everything taken away from them. And so now for the living God to touch them, they get pretty excited. Now this is Bob Lou's house. This is where he lives, and so they have a lot of family members that live together with them. And there's some people that live down below over here. But the top house, they showed it to me, is for their son, Sonny, whenever he gets married. Because the way the family does it is when they get married, they provide a home for them, they build it. So they're in the process of building that, but he's not married yet. He doesn't have I don't think he's even, what do they call that? Engaged to anybody yet, but they're still, they build a house and prepare it for their kids. So it was really nice upstairs, and in the middle floor is their kind of dining room and their living room, and down below is another living quarters for one of the other family members. The kitchen is, you don't see it, but it's over here. Okay, next one, Sarah. This is a friend that lives down in the house. He has his own sewing business, and if you look at his feet, those are pedals on the sewing machine. He makes clothes, he tailors clothes, make all from that machine right there. It's just amazing. He's such a precious brother. He's so full of life. Okay, next one. Now this is the church. They just finished building this church maybe a year ago. It was Bob Lou and his family. The story I think is the mother, his grandmother, Bob Lou's grandmother, she knew that she wanted to do something for the Lord. The Lord put it on her heart to do something, you know, and she didn't have anything other than she had a piece of land next to the house. And she says, well, I want to give the land to the Lord. And they always wanted a prayer house, but they don't really have a lot of money. And so once the mother gave the land to build for a prayer house, they started saving for the bricks. You can see the piles of bricks over here in the corner. Well, over a few years, they slowly build this church with the bricks and stuff. And so now it's there. And so they were very excited to have us come there and do Sunday morning service there, because it was the first time anybody has ever been in there doing service. So Bob Blue invites us to come in and do a Sunday morning service there. So the next one. So this house is really, for them, I mean, it's really big, because there's no other, as we were hearing last night with Dan, this is the only church in the Palampur area. This, when I say church, this is the only church building in the Palampur. Every place else you go, you just go into people's homes. So for them to build this on their property, it really makes it visible in the city's eye, where a lot of people see it, and now they're going to have a lot of traffic come in and out, which they try to stay away from. But this is what God gave them to do, and this is what they did. So the next one. So this is what it looks like inside. They put chairs down, and they have you sit down. And this is Sunday, and we're going to do church here on this day. Okay, next one. And these are just some of the kids from family and friends around there. Next one. And so as people start to gather, I think we're probably, Seamus is probably playing music right now. And now you see Sanjeev and his wife and his daughters next to his wife over here. This whole trip for me, I was just so touched by God to see how God uses people. Babalu, once he gets born again, the way that he already loves people. He loved people even before. He sold them drugs and stuff, and he used to sell all other kinds of stuff before he knew the Lord. I mean, some of the business that his family's had, they'd sell it right out of there. He was telling us about his testimony. But so now that he's born again, you know, it's all cleaned up, and he now wants to live for Christ. And so this man knows everybody everywhere you go. And we just happened to come into the city. We were going to work with the three young men, pastors. We didn't know about Pablo. Dan had met him, I think he said, last year, one other time. So this was God. All we had to do was show up, and God opens the door. You know, and we start ministering to all these people's life. Now, I have never seen this man, Sanjeev, I've never seen a conversion like this before in my life. This man gets touched by God in one prayer meeting, starts coming around with us to all the other prayer meetings, starts coming to the church. Dan's given the message on Sunday, and he was saying it last night. Dan was speaking in English, and he's saying, I don't know how many of you can understand what I'm saying. He says, but when the Holy Spirit comes inside, you can feel him inside, and you come alive. Sanjeev, I know. And all this time we're thinking, he doesn't understand. The Spirit of God just speaking to him, is speaking to his heart all this time. You know, so it's just, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Lord. Oh my gosh, the things you do, it's just absolutely incredible. And you allow us to be part of it. All we got to do is just be obedient and show up. Let's see what the next one is. Oh, just some more of the kids. We're having praise and worship. And I had my camera out taking a picture. And so, yeah, it's praise and worship time. And okay, go ahead. And just more opportunities to pray for people. And that's his son, Sonny, wanted prayer. And then I think one more. And this little girl right here, she asked for prayer. Her mother came up with her. And apparently she's got something going on in her stomach. And she's just been really sick for quite some time. And so we prayed for her. And she got all excited. Because it's gone. The pain is gone. You know, they just come alive. It's actually gone. So we have a chance to tell her about Jesus afterwards. And having the young pastors that are with us, the nice thing about it is once we get a chance to minister and talk to them, well, the pastors immediately, you know, they know the language, they can minister Christ to them, and they get an opportunity to follow up with them because this is where they're going to be ministering anyway. So it's almost like we come in and they have now a built-in church. When everybody leaves, they have all these people that they can visit, you know. So it was just real, and that's the end of the slideshow, but that's Bablu. You know, once again, I just praise God for him. Such a witness for God, such a godly man now, and it was just so good. But there's a scripture verse that I wanted to share with you, and it just made so much sense to me that when, and you know it all, Romans 10:17, I think it is, when it says, and while we were there, the Lord started just showing me, because I'm watching this man come with us everywhere, and he's just coming alive. To me, I could just see a glow on him. His eyes were bright, his skin, he would smile. Every time he got around Dan, he would just hug him. I mean, just give him a big old bear hug, you know, and just he was just coming alive. And then I remembered this the scripture verse, Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, and I thought, well, Lord, why are you showing me that now? I'm thinking a lot about Sanjeev and what's going on in his life. And you know, a lot of times we read that scripture verse, and we could almost, I think a lot of times we say, so then faith comes by reading the word. But it doesn't say that. But sometimes it's almost like we think that. It says, so then faith comes. Well, how does it come? It comes by hearing. Well, Sanjeev heard that word. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word there is the rhema word. It means it's the spoken living word of God. God spoke to him. When Dan prayed for him, just laid his hands on him, and all of us were just there, and we for 30 seconds to a minute, whatever it was, God spoke to his heart, and he started coming alive. And all that time we were there, everywhere we went, that man came alive. He came alive in Christ. And from that moment on, his destiny was changed. He gets to walk into what God originally created for him before the foundations of the earth. No longer bound by those gods. He's now free. And he's going to, from that point on, as you saw his wife and his daughter, they're going to know a new dad. And they're going to have the opportunity to walk in the goodness of God. And so I read that scripture verse and I thought, oh my goodness, Lord, that's what you do. We didn't even preach the gospel. We just prayed. But God spoke. God spoke into their lives, into that heart. So I'm going to leave you with that. Thank you for being patient with me. But it has, since I've been back for almost 3 weeks now, I'm just feeding upon this. It's just ministering what God has done and the way that he just speaks to our hearts. And I don't have to get out on the corner and blast it with scripture. I'm just open and available. And if he shows me something, I just be obedient and do it and let God do the work. So I thank you boys for being with us today and being so patient. I hope you enjoyed the slideshow. Thank you all for being here too. I'm going to give it back to Pastor now. Okay. Bob Blue. This morning I woke up and I had a little video from Bob Blue. He wanted us to see church this morning. I didn't tell him anything I was speaking or anything about this. He sent me just a little video of the kids in church doing worship. So this is from this morning in India.
You realize, everyone, that you sowed into that trip, you are a taker of the fruit of that trip.
Amen.
We live in the greatest time in history. The world is so small because of technology. You know, when Jesus was here on the planet, he said, the harvest is ripe. Well, folks, you know, I know a lot of times we think, well, you know, in order for me to experience God, we have to leave, go someplace else. But the Holy Spirit's the same in every city in the world. You know, I remember one particular individual. He does so much of his ministry in the States, and he said, "You know, I don't know America to be hard. We're the ones that said it was hard. Holy Spirit doesn't say that." And the reason why the harvest is white is because, I mean, what you find over in India, the afflictions that are over in India, the same afflictions are over in America. They're in every country of the world. Because the devil doesn't, he wants to defame and disgrace the image of God wherever he can. So, be praying about the next trip. And if you don't feel like you would ever go, that's fine too, but you can also be praying for those, because those are your brothers and sisters over there. But remember this too, when you step out and go to the mall, those are your brothers and sisters too. any place you show up, the presence of God is there. And why shouldn't we expect Him to do the same things here as He does any place else? The fact is, He will. It's not hard. There'll come a point in time when things will get so bad in society that it's just, you're going to see the presence of God show up in bigger and bigger ways. Because He's already made the promise to us, where sin abounds, His grace, His presence and power does much more abound. So it doesn't matter how bad society gets, it doesn't matter how dark things get. You talk about making a quality decision over there in India. When they make a quality decision, it could be their life. But they still make it. You can't get someone to deny the wind, because it's there and it blows. But you can't get him to deny the Spirit of God, because He's there and He's moving. Everybody stand up. Maybe we should have the mentality and the mindset and the expectations that because the Spirit of God is everywhere, that He'll do what we've always read, what we've always seen. He'll do it anywhere. We're going to get into some things next week that I wanted to grab your heart, and I wanted to catch a hold of your thought process and your mindsets. Because a lot of you have disqualified yourself because you've said, well, I can't do those things. And the reality of it is the only reason that is the case is because you've never tried. It's not about what you can't do, it's about what you haven't tried. Everybody say that. It's not about what I can't do, it's what I haven't tried. So what if we just try? You know, I love what the Passion Translation says about Saul after his conversion. It says that he grew more and more proficient in his ministry, to the place where if you get to the end of the book of Acts, all he had to do was touch material, and that material would take in the presence of the Lord. And they would take that material and would go lay it on the bodies of people that are infirmed, and they would be set free. I'm going to know that wasn't something that he was developed in when he first started. But he became more and more proficient. How? He kept trying things. Let's be a church that we're not afraid to try things. We're not afraid to step out and try things. Well, that doesn't line up with the way I think. Well, change the way you think. Well, I can't find that in the Word. There's a lot of things you can't find in the Word. It doesn't mean the Spirit of God doesn't do them. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And that freedom is the indication of whether the Spirit of the Lord is there, not whether it's in print. So let's be a church in these coming days, this year. We were told at the beginning of the year that we were to begin to expect God to do big things. But let's be a church that we're not afraid to try things. Because it'll be in those moments when you just say, well, I guess here goes nothing, and you just try something, and the Spirit of God shows up. Because if you love this nation and you want to see the heart of this nation changed, it's only going to change through the people of the church. And I don't care about your theology, I don't care about your doctrine. What I'm talking about is the manifestation of the presence of the Lord through you to other people in this country. That will be the only thing that changes this nation. We've been foolish enough to chase after red herrings our whole existence. And so you have darkness is framing the argument, framing the conversation, framing everything. And we just, like blind little sheep, chase after him and try to put out this fire and this fire and this fire and this fire, instead of realizing that the presence of God is in you. You be the one that frames the conversation. Let him out. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for what you've done with our brothers and sisters over there in India, what you're doing in their lives and what you're going to do continually, Father. We thank you that you caused your Holy Spirit to erupt in that place, that it drives out fear and it drives out the demonic darkness to try to influence the mindsets of people. And in these last days, because darkness is pushing the envelope, we thank you that your presence will become stronger and stronger, greater and greater manifestations of your presence than we've ever seen in and amongst us as human beings. Because you will reap your harvest, because the harvest belongs to you. So we just thank you for that, Father. We lift up this nation. And we thank you, Lord, that even as we plant seeds in other nations, that we plant seeds in this nation too. And we thank you for your presence to be increased in its manifestation in this city, in the surrounding cities, in the nation as a whole. That all of these social arguments and social scenarios that have been put up as distractions, that they will crumble at your feet. And people have to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, because look what he's done in my life. So we thank you for an increased manifestation of your presence in our midst, in our grocery stores, in our hardware stores, in our gas stations, any place we go. We thank you for increased manifestations of your presence, Father. Let it be known that Jesus is the healer. Let it be known that Jesus is Lord. And as you do that, you grip the hearts of the people in this nation, and they'll never let somebody else prostitute their heart ever again. Because they'll give it to you. And we just thank you and praise you for that. And we look for the coming of this year for you to manifest yourself in bigger and bigger ways in our midst and through us as we're willing to get out there and try things. And all those that agree with that prayer said, amen. Amen, amen. We're going to have an awesome week.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.